My name's Sean Collier. There's Aaron Kleiber.
Oh, here we are in the sound booth.
We're in your vehicle. Does your car have a name?
The Honda Accord LX?
Yeah, I know, but do you name it? Does it have like a name, like a pet?
My son started calling it the Batmobile because it's all blacked out.
Okay, yeah, you're tinted all up and down.
Yeah, dude.
We're sitting outside of the lovely Hollywood Theater in Dormont, Pennsylvania. As every now and about once a year, I think, we like to throw a weird horror movie at you because that's our...
In the middle of springtime?
Yeah, just when, you know, life is blooming and all kinds of... And so we're going to talk about cannibals.
Yes.
Just straight eating people this week on You Can't Handle the Truth. Mm.
And now, it's You Can't Handle the Truth. Honest reviews of the newest movies. Part of the Epicast Network. Hear more great podcasts at epicast.tv.
It is You Can't Handle the Truth for Friday. Didn't even think about it.
What?
April 7th.
It's April 7th, Sean.
2017.
Yep.
My name's Sean Collier, and here's Aaron, and
Hi.
Here we are in Dormont. I like Dormont. I used to get tarot card readings down the street.
Oh, of course you did.
That's what you come up here for.
Of course you did.
Yeah, that's a fun fact. Despite the fact that my closer in comedy is about how I don't believe in horoscopes.
Oh, I know. That's hilarious.
I like a good tarot card reading every now and then.
Sure.
Just to, you know, hear something.
I've never heard another one of my grown man friends say that to me.
You know when it started? Have we talked about this? Did I tell you about this?
No.
This started in Manhattan.
Oh. Also.
Because,
first time I heard that this week.
The one time I did a couple shows in the Village. Our buddy Norlex Belmo hooked me up. Then I'm walking around afterwards, and I look over, and it's one of those little, like, storefront, you know, 40,
yeah, of course.
$40, get your cards read. I was
of
like,
course.
All right, I got some time to kill. And this woman had, like, she was just, like, a white lady, but she had, like, half Brooklyn, half Jamaican accent, of course.
Yeah.
And was very reassuring, and then tried to sell me a romance crystal.
Ooh.
And I thought she was just throwing in the romance crystal like it was a little bonus. But then it turned out that the romance crystal was another $40.
$40 for a romance crystal?
And I said, you know, I don't think I have crystal money tonight. And she said, okay, well then I'll throw in the healing crystal for free. Maybe you need that more right now.
All of this sounds amazing.
There's
so many keywords I want to backtrack and talk mm-hmm. about, but we're doing a movie podcast.
Yeah, so then I came home and I was like, that was a good time. Where can I get this at home? And it's right up there. It's at Moonstones.
Ooh.
Is the name of the establishment.
That sounds like a hippie dodgeball team.
And she, that's the one, she was like, you were, and I don't, let me say, I don't know if I believe any of this. Anything that's like fortune telling, I don't really think I believe it. But what I like about it is it's kind of like random advice, and then you think about things in a way that your brain wasn't going to go to on its own.
You know what? I think you're absolutely right. I think it's a great way to look at it.
Yeah. It's like, here's a different perspective.
Yeah.
That is not really based on anything. So what she told me was, you were a sailor many lives ago.
Sean, I can't handle any of this.
And,
this is so ridiculous.
And you're very connected to large bodies of water. So what you need to do is...
Did you say, my sisters are named Huron, Superior, and Michigan.
Right, exactly. So she said, you need to go to a large body of water soon and ask for enlightenment. And I was like, all right, I got a couple weekends.
Okay.
So I called...
Wait, you did this?
Oh, yeah.
Please, go ahead.
I called Amy Whipple, who everyone has heard on the show before.
Uh-huh.
I said, bring your kid. Let's take a little day trip up to Lake Erie, because I gotta get enlightenment.
Oh,
and Amy,
Sean.
Amy and her son played at the beach, and I walked off to a little quiet cove and just sat there for about an hour.
Okay.
I don't think I got enlightenment out of it, but you know, how often do often do you sit by the water for an hour?
You sat down and meditated and sure. Okay.
Then later I started dating someone again, so all that shit went away.
Wow.
Because now I didn't. Now, you know, it's like, oh, okay, I'm good.
Did we start a new podcast?
It's called Signs from the Earth.
Signs
from the Earth with Sean and Aaron.
Should we start over now?
Okay, hey.
Hey, guys. This is Aaron Kleiber. You Can't Handle the Truth. Here with, of course, Sean Collier.
Mm-hmm.
And he's enlightened now.
Yeah, yeah.
And
by Lake Erie.
We our goal today is, I'm going to let you simmer for a second.
Yeah. Yeah,
he reflected hard. Mm-hmm. We're gonna reflect on the movie Raw.
Yes,
Raw, not Monday Night Raw, which I know Sean could talk about.
Yeah, as well. I kept seeing. I was on my calendar. I was like, "Go see Raw," and every time I was like, "Oh, am I going to wrestling tomorrow?" Yeah. No, I'm not. I'm not.
Yeah, Sean is a grown man obsessed with Harry Potter and WWE wrestling.
Yeah, it was okay when it was one of the two,
and we're still friends.
But when it passed into both of them,
that's okay.
You know, Jason Clark's with me on Harry Potter.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I am not for.
What?
Is eating human beings.
No, I'm not into that. It's interesting because this is one where a couple of people, I was like, oh, do you want to come with us? We're going to, I said that to my friends, Renee and Steve. They've been on the podcast before. Uh-huh. I was like, oh, I'm going to this thing. And to my girlfriend who watches horror movies with me. She's big into Halloween, always goes to the scare house with me, does the scare house basement. Yep. I showed her the preview for this, and she was just like, no, I can't handle that at all.
Oh, I'm not going to lie. It was a little rough to watch.
Yeah.
There were scenes where I had to turn my head because it was just too real.
And that shouldn't happen to us. We've seen some shit in the cinema.
I've seen a lot of things in the cinemas.
but... And it's interesting because, you know, if you sat me down in a Saw movie or a Hostel movie, I could stare at that without flinching.
But this is
different.
I don't know, man. I flinched at some Saw stuff, mm-hmm. but I was just more angry at movies like that.
Yeah.
Just because they're just kind of gore porn and I think it's stupid.
Well, yeah, that's at that point, it's not even like.
No.
You're watching human violence anymore. No. It's like you're watching the opening of Pee-wee's Big Adventure,
yeah.
but with arms coming off. It's just like how what contraption, what ridiculous way are they going to find to?
It's really stupid.
No,
this was very real.
Yes.
That's what it was. I mean, it was just the makeup and the special effects were spectacular.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Number one. I mean, because
at the end there, that was.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Yeah, this is gory.
Yeah.
This
is not going to be for many of the listeners. And for that reason, we'll spoil it a little bit more than usual.
Yeah.
Because I feel like not that many people are going to go when I tell you that, like, the main character of this movie at about the halfway mark eats a finger like she's gnawing on a chicken wing down at the bar.
Yep.
Just goes to town on a.
And that's all you need to know, because it gets worse.
Yeah, yeah. So it's really very interesting though, because it's like there's nothing normal about it, but the story is a getting to college story,
right?
Where she's, you know, 18, 19. This is a French movie. This is set in France.
Yep.
And she's going to veterinary school.
Yeah.
And it's kind of all about like hazing and I didn't know this. I guess that's true at a lot of schools, maybe in Europe.
University.
The what we associate with like frat hazing is just everybody.
Yeah,
it's everybody. Just... Every freshman gets.
Now it was a specialty veterinarian school.
Right.
So, you know, it might be a thing. You know, if you go to like, you know, Tom Savini's school, maybe they have a hazing process. They do.
The hazing process at Tom Savini's is probably just normal things.
Oh,
like
yeah.
like you have to like do your taxes. you've gotta sit quietly in a church because
they're all very interesting people.
Oh yeah,
yeah, that'd
oh,
be
yeah.
weird to them.
But it's this you know, there's like some weird sexual awakening and like pushing
sure,
your
yeah.
boundaries, but also she's a cannibal.
Yeah, and you know I think why don't we say now? Do we want to talk spoilers for a couple minutes, and maybe for anybody who has seen the film?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like I said, I don't think that many people are going to seek this one out. This is kind of just a conversation. So let's say for 5 minutes, we'll go full spoilers.
Yeah.
If you're really itching to see this one, just cut it off when we tell you to.
Yeah.
But we'll get to full spoilers at the end.
Right. You know, what you said was the whole like sexual awakening thing. There were moments in the film that I felt like that was like the second storyline almost.
Yeah.
There was a little storyline of just kind of a, you know, sexual experimentation, you know, kind of adventurous, you know, kind of identity seeking kind of thing.
If we were a different kind of movie podcast, this is where I would talk about, you know, how the cannibalism here is actually just a metaphor for grappling with your adult body and your adult needs. That maybe that's what this movie is about.
Yeah, sure. You could say that if we were like old Siskel and Ebert or something like that.
Right.
But you know, I think you could still say that like that insatiable appetite for sex at that age in college. Yeah. I mean, sure. But I honestly think that was like a second storyline. It was because all the characters had a little something like to say about their journey sexually.
Yeah. And it's definitely a European horror movie.
Oh yeah.
That's where you go for
sex and gore.
It's like drugs. The real hardcore shit comes from the continent.
Absolutely.
It's like, yo, I got some shit from Denmark in.
Yeah.
This'll blow your mind.
And isn't it funny that I feel like in the last 10 or 15 years, European horror films, they're almost like the ideas and plots of 80s horror films.
Yeah.
But they're done by like real artists.
Yeah.
Like they're done like, you know how, okay, films in the 80s in Europe were real like avant-garde and like fluffy and like artsy, and it's almost like those movies and the horror movies of the 80s kind of combined.
Mm-hmm.
Are you feeling me here?
Well, we
that's what horror movies are now from Europe.
Right here a couple years ago, we did an episode on Goodnight Mommy, which I was kind of so-so on, but that was a similar thing. That was, and it's something about, you know, making it weird and almost that David Lynchian kind of like unnerving and disconcerting. That's big in European
that's
horror.
That's been the thing for years.
It reminded me of one of the worst movies I've ever seen. And that's not to disparage this movie, because actually this was pretty good. But it put me back in the mindset of this movie. I saw this. It's an Irish horror movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Isolation.
Mm-hmm.
And this came back into my mind this year because, you know, who was in it is the actress Ruth Negga, who was just nominated for Best Actress for Loving.
Yeah, okay.
Was in this incredibly low-budget Irish horror film in 2005. I'm just gonna read the brief Wikipedia plot to you here. Ready? Mm-hmm. Dan Riley, a farmer working in rural Ireland, is propositioned by a local biogenetics firm. You know, one of them rural Irish biogenetics firms.
Yeah, dude.
To assist in some experiments to make faster-growing cattle. Mm. The experiments go awry, and one of Dan's cows births a calf, which itself is already pregnant with six malformed fetuses with fangs and exoskeletons.
Cows.
Yeah.
That's right, I remember that.
Orla, a local veterinarian, kills the calf and unwittingly allows one of the still-living fetuses to escape during an autopsy. John, the scientist conducting the experiment, discovers that the cells of fetuses are replicating far too quickly and that the missing fetal creature has the potential to infect cows as well as humans globally, causing a massive infestation of bloodthirsty creatures. They are now on a mission to kill the creature before it escapes for the farm. It's a horror movie about a...
Zombie cows.
Killer mutant cow fetus.
Zombie cows, dude.
But the tone of the tone of the movie was like what we just saw. This like bleak, dire, you know, serious. And it's like we're chasing a cow fetus around the farm.
But what if it would have been in like Shaun of the Dead style?
It would have been great.
Yeah,
it would have been awesome.
Or you know, like Dead Snow. You know
what happened to that guy? Because there was this director that was making a lot of stuff. A lot of horror movies I really liked, and I feel like he fell off. His name was Alexander Aja.
Oh, yeah.
And he did High Tension.
Yeah, right.
Which was amazing.
One of the best horror movies. I put that in the top 50 of all time.
That was insane. 2003.
Yeah, Australian, right?
I think it was. No, it was French.
It was. I'm thinking of. Go ahead. Anyway,
you're thinking of something else. But did you see High Tension?
I did. Mm-hmm.
So good, and I was like, oh, this guy's gonna be a big deal. And then he kind of didn't. He did the Hills Have Eyes remake, which was okay. In 2006.
That was actually, I thought that was pretty decent.
And then he did one called Mirrors. I think I saw that, but I don't remember it at all. Kiefer Sutherland and Amy Smart.
Yeah.
And then he did Piranha 3D.
I mean, whatever.
I actually saw that movie twice. It was a little bit of a trip. Christopher Lloyd was in it. Jerry O'Connell was in it. Elizabeth Shue, Ving Rhames.
Yeah, he told me it was insane.
It's insane. But then he didn't. The last thing he did was that fantasy horror Horns in 2013 with Daniel Radcliffe.
Yes.
And he hasn't done anything since. But
I mean, he's doing okay.
Yeah, he's doing fine. That's a bit of a break, but nothing has hit the level of High Tension, which was unbelievable. Australian, what were you thinking of?
I can picture.
Is it that
the cover.
Wolf Creek? No, that's something else.
No, High Tension was the two ladies.
Yeah.
Maybe I was thinking of Wolf Creek.
What's the other one?
Yeah, there's another one, I know.
We're not going to get to
it. Sorry, friends.
We're just talking about
waste time.
Some of our favorite weird horror movies. Like Funny Games, speaking of
European
horror.
Oh, boy, that's rough.
And that's the one where...
That's rough to watch.
That was remade by the same director in English.
Yes, it was. And it definitely was not as good.
No. And that's the one that's got the scene where suddenly he turns to the camera and is like, well, what do you people want? You want me to kill him?
Yeah.
And then cuts back into that's a weird one.
Yeah.
But I will say this. By Michael Haneke.
Yeah. This Raw, it's one of the oddest movies I've seen.
Yes.
And I've seen Human Centipede and Funny Games. And
I never sat down and watched Human Centipede.
I watched two of them.
Really?
Oh, I watched one and two.
I mean, I've seen every Saw, so...
Yeah, I've seen all those, yeah. But it's not like it's... See, disturbing is one thing. I've seen... Yeah. Funny Games is disturbing.
Yeah.
This is a well-made film that's just weird.
Yeah, I...
It's just... There's weird things in it.
When we were walking out of there, I was like, well, what is... I wonder if this is getting good reviews, and it's getting really good reviews.
Hmm.
Rotten Tomato, it's got 91% from... Yeah, 91%.
Do we really believe them still?
No, I don't take that too seriously. But let me find some individual ones here while we're talking about it. I mean, it had a good cast. The direction is really, really good.
Yeah.
It's a young female filmmaker. DeCornau is her last name. She's 33.
Yeah.
And this is very, you know, I'm going to say subtle for a movie where people are eating people. But it is subtle.
And I would say, did you kind of feel like, I kind of feel like if you're a woman who loves horror movies,
mm-hmm.
you will love this.
Yeah, they had something else here that I really wanted to see a couple weeks ago and didn't get to. It was a horror anthology, but it was all female directors. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I forget the name of it.
Yeah, this is the kind of thing, and this is, you know, there were scenes in it where I thought, man, if I was a woman, I would get this a lot more, I think.
Hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's a lot of that... I don't even have the language to describe
what's
going on
here.
Yeah,
it was just like, this is stuff that happens between girls.
And it's about sisters.
And, yeah. And yeah. I was like, huh, I bet you women... And I thought, I bet you women who like horror movies will really love this.
Before we get off of this, we'll talk about some other movies just to, you know...
And it is not... Oh, let me just say, it's not all like... You know, Clueless, Legally Blonde shit.
No.
That's not what I'm talking about.
No, not at all.
No, I'm just talking about normal women.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not talking about movie stereotypical. No.
But you brought it up. What has to happen on the screen for you to look away with all the horror movies that we've seen?
I would say something that... like the way this is filmed, it's a very serious, stark film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is very David Lynch, very Twin Peaks-ish.
Right.
Let the Right One In, you know, kind of dark.
Yeah.
You know, everything's very saturated, you know, white and black and not a lot of colors. So it feels really real.
Yeah.
And so then when you go from just kind of these normal things happening in normal life in college, and then you go from eating a finger.
Right.
And it the effects look so real. I think it's so my I'm trying to answer your question in saying that all of that kind of sets it up where it's more disturbing.
When it's really grounded in the real world.
Yes.
I
think so.
It's really
because I can watch and the effects are really good too.
Yeah.
But I can also watch The Walking Dead and watch somebody's, you know, brain being beat in.
Yeah.
Or somebody being bit.
Yeah.
You know, and their flesh ripping off, but I know it's fake. Does that make sense?
Yeah. What did I just
I never cringe at somebody getting bit by a zombie.
What did I just see that was real violent?
The effects are amazing.
That was real violent, and still I went kind of like, you know, didn't really.
There was something.
What horror have we seen recently? Because Get Out wasn't that violent.
No.
Have you seen Get Out?
I did.
Yeah. What'd you think?
Spectacular.
It's so good.
Very good.
And a giant hit, by the way. That made a ton of money. Good for them.
Yeah.
Especially with, there was some bad horror. Oh, well, we'll get to other movies in a minute. Before we get off of that, my answer to that question is just when it's close-up skinned stuff. Do you know what I mean?
A
little bit of the Cronenberg, anything. Like,
That's why I bring up zombies.
Yeah.
Because it's usually that kind of wound.
Yeah.
It's like you see skin pulling and stuff.
Yeah.
They do that in Walking Dead. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
This is also fantastic. It's just in a different realm.
Yeah.
You know?
But people, eating people is one of those things that it's tough to desensitize to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
As well it should be. That's a good thing. But you know, you can show me a chainsaw massacre, oddly enough, because that's also about people eating people.
Right.
But when it's you know, just someone chewing on a finger, that's like, oh no.
Right. I mean, and it escalates and it gets rough.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna give a spoiler, but there was also an interesting scene between sisters that we'll never understand, that kind of made me cringe as well, thinking like, oh my God, to be a woman. Like, that's terrible.
Well, we'll do spoilers later. Okay. Let's just to add a little content in here, talk about some of the other stuff that we've seen that we haven't talked about. We kind of missed the moment on this, but a movie that we previewed that we talked about a lot in our year preview, and then neither one of us were crazy about, was Belko Experiment. We talked about that a bunch in our 2017 preview.
Right.
And then I saw it the night it came out so I could talk about it on the radio the next day. Mm-hmm. And it was like...
And I went and saw it that week.
And just kind of a waste of a premise, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you and I talked immediately after I saw it, and I just, you know, there really wasn't anything happening. I didn't...
No.
Like, we understand it's kind of The Purge in an office building, but my problem... I mean, we're not... I mean, we don't have to... I mean, if you want to go see it, go see it. I mean, it's The Purge in an office building, and I wouldn't want to ruin or spoil anything, but I don't know what I'm going to spoil. Because there's no goal. There's no real outcome. There's no motivation for anybody. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, sure, some of the it was Office Space meets Purge.
Yeah.
Some of it was funny. There was some funny kills, you know, some of those moments. Because it is a little more of silly, but... You know what? Now that I'm thinking about that out loud, they didn't do that right.
No.
They were trying to be serious, but then also trying to be kind of like a, you know, Shaun of the Dead type humor.
Yeah.
But it just never hit its mark.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, one minute be silly, and, you know, somebody gets killed with a stapler or a copy machine.
Yeah.
And then the next minute, they're talking about who's going to heaven and, like, you know, who they're going to kill. And, like, it gets all, like, a serious... scene, and you're like, what the heck? We were just giggling at a fat lady falling down the steps. Like, what is that? Sounds horrible, but you know what I mean? It just didn't hit the mark on what it really wanted it to be.
And we both like James Gunn,
Sure.
Wrote the Dawn of the Dead remake, yes, which we both like super. And, you know, by the way, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
And Guardians 2, which is coming out in a couple of months.
And one of my favorites of his, James Gunn's, is Slither.
I haven't seen that one.
Dude, Slither is a very underrated creature horror movie.
That's what I've heard.
Really
I've heard
good.
That's a good one.
Really good.
And directed by Greg McLean, who's done something, and I forget what it is right now. I'm trying to pull it up.
Wolf
Creek. So Wolf Creek is not the movie you're thinking of. I know what you're talking about. I just can't name it. The guy who did Wolf Creek and basically did a lot with that project.
James Gunn, I guess, he got tied up with other projects, and he hired this guy to direct the story that he wrote.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a... I was kind of disappointed when I heard that James Gunn wrote this.
It really doesn't...
I was like, this is like... This seems like very freshman film school.
Yeah.
It's not...
It kind of goes as far as the premise and then just kind of lets it unwind.
Yeah, I kind of feel like
without
this
is a lot of effort.
This is a movie I'd see at a film festival at midnight.
Yeah.
By somebody in Indianapolis or something. You know what I mean?
It wasn't awful, but
I hate to say that about James Gunn.
It just something that we were both really looking forward to.
Yeah.
Didn't really do anything for me. I'm trying to think what else I haven't talked about. I haven't talked about Smurfs 2, in case anyone needs to hear about that.
I'm not going to talk about that. You don't have to either.
I have one thing to say about Smurfs 2.
Take your kids?
Take your kids, and if they're old enough, leave them there. This is the only interesting thing I can say about it is you don't usually see anymore movies that are just for kids, that aren't like trying to be funny for teenagers
and
grown-ups.
I know, and I hate it.
And Smurfs 2, which had a decent voice cast, but it was like jokes that we remember from, you know, afternoon cartoons when we were kids. It was just targeted at kids. And I didn't enjoy it at all.
No, actually, I love that.
I didn't enjoy it.
You mean they didn't have to slip in some double entendre sex joke?
No.
Like they do in every other kids movie.
This was just straight up. Like the Boss Baby had a sex joke
in it. Of course it did.
And this was just like, if you have a six-year-old, they're going to giggle their face off.
Right.
And that's it. And our hometown boy, Joe Manganiello's in it. So if you've got a six-year-old, put them there and go out and have a glass of wine in the lobby while your kid laughs at Smurfs. And what we almost did an episode on this movie Going in Style, which I saw Monday, and then and Steve Gottschalk, who's been on the show before, came to the movie with me because I said let's do an episode, and then that day I was like, there's nothing to say about this movie. it's a really easy movie to watch because it's about Michael Caine, Morgan Freeman, and Alan Arkin. They're old and they've been screwed by their pensions and their banks, so they're going to rob a bank. And it has funny moments, and you can kind of just watch it because you know you're happy to stare at those three guys do anything.
Sure.
And it's a little funny heist movie. There wouldn't have been anything else to say than that.
So should I go see it this weekend in my boredom?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I will.
Tell me how you feel about this. Is the only reaction I had to it was, I don't like dementia jokes. Do you know what I mean?
I agree.
Christopher Lloyd is in this, and he's the old guy that doesn't know where he is and what's going on. So he's always like, somebody say something about cocaine? Like, and those.
That's hysterical.
Really?
And it's Christopher Lloyd?
It's Christopher Lloyd.
Now I'm definitely going to see it.
I don't know.
You just sold me. I can't wait to see it now.
It's very funny because it's Christopher Lloyd.
Christopher Lloyd's like 75. You know what? Here's the thing. If a 75-year-old old guy wants to make fun of other 75-year-old old guys, he should be allowed.
Yeah, I guess it's fine. This is an enjoyable little movie. There wasn't going to be a whole podcast to talk about with it. But, you know, I had a decent time in there. I also had a decent time. This is not out until Wednesday, but the hell with it. A movie for grown-ups, those still exist, called Gifted. Mm-hmm. And it's got a great cast, Chris Evans and Jenny Slate and Octavia Spencer.
Oh, yeah.
And Chris Evans has adopted his late sister's child, and she's a math prodigy, and there's a custody battle, and it's just a movie for grown-ups. And I enjoyed it beginning to end. It's not the best movie of the year, but, you know, something with no explosions and fistfights in it.
Boring.
Chris Evans is pretty good.
Yeah, he's good.
Among the Avengers, I think he's going to... Among the Avengers who you met as an Avenger, I think he's going to be fine whenever he stops being Captain America.
I think you're right. I mean, there are a lot of good people. I mean, they have a lot of good actors in those movies.
Yeah.
I mean, Anthony Mackie, I love...
Yeah.
I still love Anthony Mackie from Pain or Gain.
Oh, okay.
Love that.
Sure.
Anyway, but the Cannibal...
did you see anything else? By
Euro, Euro Cannibal. You know, I cannot remember I saw when I was... I can't remember. I think it was Belko Experiment. I think it was the last thing I saw.
Oh, yeah. Occasional Grown Dad Business guests, Luke and Becca... saw Boss Baby.
That's right.
They were there. Did they enjoy it?
They did. They mentioned there was a couple of funny parts that they loved.
They mostly laughed when there was a butt or a fart.
Yes, yes, butts and farts. You're absolutely right.
It's one of those.
My demographic.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. Okay, look, if you want to not hear spoilers for Raw or are done caring, feel free to stop the podcast now. We already got the download. We're happy.
If you don't want it to be spoiled, turn it off. Go see Raw. It's worth seeing if you love gory horror movies.
If you're pretty hardcore. If you ever go, I don't know, that might be too much for me.
Yeah.
This one's too much for you.
Yeah, if you ever have seen a horror movie and thought, this is rough. This is going to be one of them for you.
Yeah.
If you've said that once or twice like we have, this is going to be up there for you as one of those weird ones.
I remember I was in college. I was seeing the Texas Chainsaw remake.
Yeah.
And a guy walked out, you know, when Leatherface throws her up on the meat hook.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, I don't want to watch this, and walked out. I was like, man up a little bit on that one. Come on. We're adults here.
I've seen some people walk out of horror movies.
You know, but now as a grown up, that's when I was 18.
Sure.
As a grown up, I'm like, look, don't see anything you don't want to. Don't put yourself, if it's going to give you nightmares.
No,
you got to get some sleep tonight. Don't worry about it.
So we're going to ask just a couple things, 5 minutes, a couple things that were just like.
Well, rate it before, and then we
yes.
can. I give it an 8. That's a pretty good movie.
You know, I was going to give it a 7.
Okay.
7.
Sure.
Thought it was very good. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, it wasn't my bag. All right, spoiler time.
Spoilers are beginning.
Spoiler time.
Spoilers. Spoilers. Birds. Spoilers.
Birds.
That's a callback. Don't worry about it. Go. Spoil something.
Okay, so here's the thing. What is going on?
with what?
See, I don't... Is this calling for a sequel?
No.
Because we find out, this is spoilers.
Yeah.
We find out that these two sisters have an insatiable appetite for meat when they finally get to college. Now, you think it's the one sister, but you find out it's the other sister.
Yeah, she's got an older sister who's a year ahead of her in school.
And they both like eating living flesh.
And what happened was they were raised strict vegetarian.
Right.
And there's this inciting incident where as part of the hazing... they have to eat like a raw, what was it, like a chicken kidney or something?
Raw rabbit liver.
Rabbit liver. And that, like,
triggered.
Flips the switch.
Right.
So now so like a couple days later, she goes to get a sandwich because she, like, wants meat again. But then she starts to realize that she's craving human flesh.
Right.
And then the twist later is that it's her sister, too.
Yeah.
And you ask if there's a sequel because we learn at the end that it runs in the family.
That
it was passed down from the mother.
What the fuck? That it doesn't make any... Like, what are you?
They're cannibals. They're like half...
I don't like that.
They're half vampires.
That's why I got a 7.
They're half vampires.
What are you? Are you werewolves, vampires? Let's put a form to this. I don't like it.
The thing I don't... I'm fine with that. Because it's a horror movie. If they had been, you know...
I need to know what's going on.
Demon alien ghosts, that's allowed. It's a horror movie.
Sure.
So I'm fine with them being like weird cannibals, semi-vampires. Yeah. That's fine. What I don't like is this basically all happened because their parents didn't weren't straight with them.
Right.
And just like thought, well, okay, we'll just be really strict about their vegetarian and then they'll stay vegetarians and then this won't
ever happen.
No, I don't, no matter what you try to instill in your, the more strict you are about something with your kids, yeah. I think, the more likely it is that on one day they're going to be like, let me see what that's about. And
I think if I was her parents, I would have just ate raw meat in front of them every day their whole life. And then I'd be like, meat makes me sick.
Right.
Because my parents eat raw steaks for dinner, for breakfast every morning.
No, but how did they not sit them down when they were 11 and have the you're a wizard Harry conversation? Like, listen, you know how you get weird around flesh sometimes? Here's why.
Yeah, because we want to
train them into it.
Right. Dexter them.
Right.
Train them.
I mean, then because you don't have a movie. But, like, the whole thing hinged on them not knowing until it was kind of too late.
Now, that's very funny. Isn't there a show out right now, I believe, on Amazon with Timothy Oliphant?
Oh, it's Netflix. It's that
Netflix.
And Santa Clarita Diet.
Drew Barrymore.
Yeah.
She's a flesh eater.
Yeah.
That's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Except it's all Pleasantville type of...
Yeah.
You know, and like, you know, the husband helps the mom find flesh and things like that. That's interesting.
It's a can. We're having a cannibal moment.
Well, that came out a year ago.
No, that just came out.
Oh, it came out a little.
They were running ads for it. There was a Super Bowl ad for it, and it wasn't out yet.
Really?
Yeah.
Then maybe it just dropped.
I think it did.
Oh, okay. Well.
Well,
good timing.
Did they
know that?
I don't think Netflix is basing their off of horror movies that'll make $500,000 domestic.
Well, then, but, Sean, jeez.
But you know, and it's. It's so it's a little bit of when you get to the end, it's like, ah, that didn't add up. And to your thing about the sequel, the cannibal family that's trying to pass.
Yeah.
Is probably a more interesting movie than the one we got.
Yeah, that's what I brought up that show. I mean, here's my last question. And then
we've talked for too long about Raw.
Yeah. So at the end, when her parents reveal that it's from them or whatever, yeah. The father is covered in scars.
Yeah.
Does that mean he basically says to his daughter, you'll have to learn how to manage.
Yeah.
And he also has a scar on his lip that he said from the first time he kissed her mother.
Well, he's so covered. His entire torso is scar tissue.
That's the mother taking bites out of him.
I took that to mean that the way they've found a deal with it is that she's a strict vegetarian and that's where she gets her nourishment. But when she's going crazy, she can take a nibble on his torso.
Holy shit.
And that might be this kind of a more interesting movie, too. Yeah, you might be knocking me down to a 7 here the more we go. Wait a minute.
I told you.
Wait a minute.
Well, Sean, we learned something about true love this evening.
Yeah. If you are letting your lover slowly eat you, I mean, that's like, look, I know some people get divorced over, you know, picking up the dog crap. If you're sticking together with chewing. It's a good relationship.
Usually I get a good button at the end, but yours was good. This was a good one.
Appreciate that.
Thanks for listening to You Can't Handle the Truth. Find your hosts on Twitter
at Sean Collier, PGH,
and at Aaron Kleiber. That's Kleiber, Kleiber. And follow us at Epicast TV. Head to www.epicast.tv for more great podcasts on the Epicast Network. You can email feedback to handlethetruthpodcast@gmail.com.